of God tonight, to know Him, to feel His presence, to have liberty of worship, to know the Word of God, to be able to go through the gate into the door, to know how to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. What a privilege tonight to know the mighty power of the name of Jesus, that it is a refuge, that it's a strong tower, and the righteous run in and are saved. Just a little bit of knowledge about this can change destinies and change lives. We are so blessed to be a part of the presence of God tonight and what God is doing in the earth. You want to continue to pray for Brother Jerry. He's apparently had a couple of brain bleeds and is really going through a valley of time. Sister Sarah, a valley of trouble. Sister Sarah is not all that healthy herself. She is such a trooper. He depends on her so much. It's going to be really hard to get her out of his circle for rest or anything. So just lift them up and pray for them and see if there's anything at all that you can do. It is so excellent to be a part of the Church of the Living God. I want to thank everyone that helped and cooked and ministered to Brother Jamie and Brother Tim, Sister Mika, Sister Lisa's family and the loss of their mother this week. And there is no place like the church. There's no place like the church. And in my absence, I appreciate those who stood in places of responsibility. Appreciate Brother Stephen taking care of that funeral and also Wednesday and Sunday morning. And we appreciate that so very much. Brother Cliff, Brother Stephen picked up some Bible studies. One donkey doesn't stop the show. It is proven over and over again. Praise God. What a wonderful thing to be a part of the Church of the Living God. Let's lift our hands and just feel after His presence tonight. Ah, we love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. How wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful. Ah, we give You praise, oh God. We magnify You. Just press in. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we bless Your name, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we bless Your name, oh God. We worship You, oh God. People buy drugs to feel what you're feeling right now, and they never do get there. This is so infinitely better. People look for this in bar rooms and in bottles. You can't get it there. Sweetness and goodness, life. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to read tonight from Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read again verses 1 through 3 and then launch on into some of the deeper verses in the chapter, making our way into an exploration of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Everyone say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Have a conversation about that at school. But by faith, we have a bridge work from where we stand to the promise of God and the reality, the higher reality of the kingdom of God. God bless you. You can be seated. And let's clap our hands and lift our voices and thank God for His word tonight. Ah, You're a mighty God, and we thank You for Your word, oh God, that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise You, oh God. We worship You, mighty God. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. What a great praise group and choir tonight. Wonderful musicians, and just usher us into the presence of God. You know, you could do this with a bass drum and a banjo, and you could get there. But I'm just telling you, it takes some excellence, and it really helps us get into the presence of God when people are ministering with excellence. Praise God. I'd rather get there like we do than with a bass drum and a banjo. I can get there. I can get there all by myself, and you're not even helping me. I can get there. But I'm glad for what God's doing here. Appreciate my good wife. She's not here tonight. She came home from our, we were observing our 42nd wedding anniversary. And so I took her away. And then we got stranded in a snowstorm. And then as soon as she walked in the door tonight, sick grandbabies walked in the door with her. I said, "You're back on duty, honey." So she's tending to grandbabies tonight, or she would be here with you, enjoying the presence of God. But could I tell you that it's worth the journey? It's worth the time. On the front end, Covey says, if you do it right, it's slow. But then it's fast. He said slow is fast and fast is slow in relationships. Take your time. Make sure. God can give you a relationship that will last a lifetime. He really can. And I'm not telling you what I thought. I told her I loved her when I was 15 and she was 14. And she said, "You don't know what you're talking about." And now I say, I knew exactly what I was talking about. So now I just gave basis to all the 15-year-olds in the house to say, "But Brother Sutton said." But kid, I really didn't know what I was talking about. So anyway, it's been a wonderful journey, and I appreciate my wife so much. She is a wonderful, wonderful person to make a journey like this with, and just a wonderful opportunity God has given us. So we're in Hebrews chapter 11. It is the hall of fame of faith. And in review a little bit here, we've been talking about some concepts that faith is a bridge work, and faith gets you to the ultimate reality of God, even though you're standing in a lower or lesser position in your earthbound reality. But you can stand there and see things and experience things and literally handle things that are beyond and above your pay grade. But it's the bridge work of faith that gets you there. And so we're studying, and as we're handling this, we're developing a criteria by which we can identify faith. We can define faith. We can see it and its symptoms in ourselves so that we know whether we have faith or if we're walking in faith. We identify everything. Our hermeneutic is the word of God, the simplest, the clearest, the oldest. And so when Peter steps out on the day of Pentecost and says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost," then we know we have just handled the essence of the gospel in the New Testament era. And from that point, from that vantage point, it doesn't matter what Augustine or the Catholic Father Augustine or Thomas Aquinas, it doesn't matter what they say or what volumes they have filled libraries with in the world. None of that matters, because I've got chapter and verse back at the rudimentary moments, the birthing of the church, and I know by faith in the Word of God what the Word of God has to say for us in 2016. And so we establish criteria for the gospel, and we establish criteria for the kingdom of God, and we establish criteria for faith to detect the presence or the absence of faith in our lives. And as we're moving through this, we've understood by James and by the Word of God that works can never be divorced from faith, but that faith is always demonstrated by works, and by your fruits shall you know them. It's what you do that identifies you as who you are. You are what you do. If you want to be something else, you do something else. And that's how you change this. It's not a feeling. It's not an idea. Faith is an act. Faith is real. Faith is what we do. So then faith evidences evidences or demonstrates our faith. We can see what we are by what we do. And as we make our way through this 11th chapter, we see it repeated again and again that these individuals are found to be of the faith, or they contend for the faith, or they walk in faith. And that fact is identified by what they do. We've looked at New Testament characters like the little woman with the issue of blood that presses in through the crowd, and we understand that faith presses in through that hinders, or that seeks to resist, and it makes its way to God. And we find that faith is like a back door, a gate left open in God's presence, where you may not be able to get through the throng or through the multitude, but you can always make your way into the presence of God. It doesn't matter, the smallest among us, the weakest among us, the poorest among us, the least educated among us can make his or her way into the presence of God by faith. It's always a door that is always open with God. And so as we identify these things, we understand faith taps into the resources of God. We understand with Abel that faith offers up the right sacrifice. You may be doing something, but if you're not doing it biblically, it's not the kingdom of God. And so it's not the faith that we're talking about tonight. But the apostle said that we needed to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. It has to mirror what they believed and what they did and what they said, or it's not the faith of the Word of God. Buddhists have faith. Atheists have faith. Hell's angels have faith in something or someone. You know, faith is a common manifestation in humanity. But the faith that we're talking about is the faith that's described and informed about by the Word of God. Faith always pleases God. With Noah, we find faith builds an ark. And so tonight we're going to move on into this 11th chapter. And we're going to explore some more and build on to this criteria and to this these items that we find that explain and evidence and tell us whether or not we have the presence or the absence of faith. Praise God. It was by faith that you got up and made a decision tonight to come to the house of God. It was by faith that you lifted up your hands and you began to pray and worship and magnify God. By faith, you laid hands on people tonight and you prayed for them. By faith, you talked in tongues tonight. Some in this house, maybe you're outside the gospel, but you came by faith because you're hungry for something. You may not even know what it is, but I'll tell you, everybody in this house tonight is operating at some level of faith. Faith is given, a measure of faith is given to all of us tonight. So it's not that you have none. It's just a matter of, are you using what you do have, and are you growing what God has given you? Because I'll tell you this, there is an imperative in the Word of God that you grow what God gives you, that you prosper in what God has given you. So we'll be in chapter 11 of Hebrews and verse 8. And let's read there. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. He is the proverbial going out, not knowing where he's going, but he's going with God and he's going in faith. And so just from the jump tonight, let me say, faith always spurs you to go out. There's always a going out. Someone in the house tonight, as we're talking about faith and going out, they're thinking about a spatial location or a geographic destination, but that's not the call of faith. Faith is calling you to step out of you and into him, out of your norm and into his norm, out of your limitations and into his abundance. Faith is always calling you from the rising of the sun to the, I don't care what the victory was yesterday. Today, God's calling you to a higher place of faith. I don't care what the defeat was yesterday. Today, God's calling you to a higher experience in faith. Faith is moving you up. Faith is moving you out. Faith is moving you onward into the promise of God. Faith calls Abraham, and Abraham goes, and he's not sure of where he's going. And it is our way that when we say yes to God, we don't know where the next step is. It's a place we haven't walked in. It's a place we haven't seen. And that's why people say no to God and no to faith, because the house of the familiar and the comfort of the familiar surrounding is so powerful in our psyche. And we spend our whole life as humanity trying to nail down something that won't change, but the only constant is change. And you just got to get on board, and you've got to be able to step out into it. And you're lying to yourself, and you're fooling yourself if you think you can build it strong enough that it's going to last here, or you're going to be better than someone else and that's going to last, or you're going to make enough money to last here, or you're going to get enough education to last here. None of those things is going to remain here. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Now the heavens are going to be rolled up like a scroll. But tonight I want to tell you, faith is calling you somewhere, and there is security only in moving with God in faith. You hear me? Listen. There's only security and getting up in the morning ready to move out with God again, to go to the next encampment, to follow the cloud and the fire again, to head out on your way to a place where it said he knew not where he was going. And every human or rational analysis would say that is a mistake. You need to know where you're going. You need to know how it is. You need to know all of the details about that place. But faith opens up your spirit and your life to take you to a place that you don't know anything about. But God said it, so it's going to be good. Do you know God does all things well? Do you understand God never makes mistakes? Do you know that when you say yes to God, it's going to be good, and it's going to be better than where you were, and tomorrow it'll be better than that? And we go by faith to faith. This is how the kingdom works. This is how the kingdom works. God always calls us out. Calls us out of our world. Calls us out of our old ways. Calls us out of our old mind and mentality. Always calling us out. If you've been living for God for 40 years and you've done reasonably well and you understand some things and you've got some corn in the crib and you've won some people to God, tomorrow God's calling you out of that and on into something else. I don't get points for what I've done. I get points for what I'm doing right now, because God is going to judge me by my continual yes and amen. Somebody say yes. Somebody say amen to God. Somebody give God license right now to call you anywhere, to be anything, to do his will, to follow his word. Somebody give God license right now. For most of us, it won't be another town. For most of us, it won't be another geographic location. For most of us, we can grow right where God has planted us. But you can't stay where you are in mind and in habit and in culture and behavior. You got to step up and step out. And God's always calling you in the direction. The destination is to be like him. The destination is to know him as we are known. Well, praise God. So God always calls us out. Don't think spatially. Think spirit. He's always calling us into a higher place in the spirit. deep crieth unto deep. He's calling us out into the deep. You say, what's out there? I don't know, but it's God. It's going to be good. But it's thundering and lightning and the waves are rolling. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God's out there. It's going to be good. But when he quietened that storm, when he came walking to them on the face of the deep, they were more terrified of him than they had been of the storm. Because there are some things that humanity grows accustomed to. They were scared of him at Gadara after he cast the demons, the legion of demons out of the demoniac of Gadara. They wanted him to leave. They didn't make him a rock star. Or a hero. He had just upset their idea of normalcy. And humanity's afraid of things they don't understand. You can grow accustomed to living with a demon or a demoniac. You can grow accustomed to living with storms in your life. And the drama train just keeps on running through your little house in your little town. But I've given some folks some advice here recently. But it's not new advice. It's honey when the drama train rides by and you hear the whistle and you hear them crying. The drama train is boarding at gate 7. You just wait. Even smile and say, y'all have fun, y'all ride on, but I'm not riding on the drama train no more. God's calling us. God's calling us out. God's calling us up. God's calling us to change. God's calling us to stay alive. God's calling us to move. God's calling us to speak. God's calling us to believe. God's calling us to praise. God's calling us to prayer. God's calling us to go into a land we don't know where we're going. And if you've seen Pentecost before, get that picture out of your mind. I like taking folks to places where it's happening on a greater level than it's happening here. I like folks to get an eyeful and an earful of what it looks like at a higher level. But I don't want you to even begin to think that that's all that God has. Or that when you arrive at that and can describe that, then that's the end of the calling of God. Tonight in every venue where apostolics are praising, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, as they're walking in it and as they're actualizing it in the middle of it all, God's saying, that's good, baby, that's good, baby. Now step on up to a higher place. Let's go. This encampment is sweet, but we're not staying. Give your neighbor a high five and say, we're not staying here. My God, we're moving on to a higher place in God. Anybody ready to travel? Staff in your hand, shoes on your feet, loins girded for travel. Don't think spatially, don't think geographically, think spiritually. He's calling us out in prayer. He's calling us out in worship. If you've crafted and you've pretty much built a prayer life through the years, and it is normative to you, there's a lot of strength in that, but God's calling you beyond that. God's calling you to add to that and add to that and build on that and strengthen that. And it can't be the same today as it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. There's got to be a lively moving in that prayer and in that worship. Praise God. He's calling us to come out of a comfort zone where we've grown accustomed and we say, well, this is very comfortable for us. I want you to know God's not into comfort. He's into you being a good soldier, enduring hardness. That's language that doesn't fit in a lot of apostolic or otherwise circles. But I'm telling you, God's calling you to do something that's going to disrupt your norm and disrupt your comfort zone. He wants you to pick up another Bible study. He wants you to have a witness in your life. He wants you to step out of your insecurity and your fear and win somebody to God. He wants you to sing a song that this world has never heard before. He wants you to write something that someone will read it and the gates of God will be open in their lives. He wants you to walk in a place in the spirit so that you can lay your hands on somebody and lives will change and healing will fall. That's where God's calling us. That's where God's calling us. By faith, Abraham, he goes out. Faith always says yes. Faith says yes. Faith doesn't want all the details. Faith goes out. Faith leaves all. Willing to leave all. I don't know how to describe it to you, but quite often in times of prayer and consecration, I feel a loneliness. I feel a loneliness that comes on me. And I think of a million bajillion things I need to be doing other than drawing close to God. But there's this discomfort when you're saying yes to God. And prayer is calling somebody in this house tonight. You've been planning on having a prayer life. It's time. It's high time. Faith is calling you to a prayer life. Prayer is the rudimentary expression of your faith. You haven't gotten out of the blocks yet. You haven't started yet. You're still in elementary school yet. If you haven't built a prayer life, you may know the Pentecostal ease. You may be able to talk about it. You may learn how to go through all the physical manner of all that is apostolic. But I'm telling you, without prayer, it's not real in your life. It's not real. Faith is calling you to prayer tonight because your prayer is the rudimentary expression of your faith. You got to start somewhere. You got to come out from where you are. You've got to move into faith. You got to move into prayer. You've got to move into praise. You've got to be able to magnify God. Well, I'm just not like that. I don't care who you are or what you're like. Clap your hands as clap your hands. Lift your hands as lift your hands. Praise him with the timbrel and praise him in the dance. Praise him with the timbrel and praise him with the dance. Well, I'm just not out on the edge like that. This is not out on the edge. This is in the normative decree of the word of God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise God. And so when you refine your praise and your worship to him, then faith is calling you. Next time, let's dig in a little deeper. Next time, let's drink a little deep. Next time, let's step out a little further. Praise him and magnify him. I want to push out the boundaries a little bit on you here tonight. And I want to tell you that faith is going somewhere where you've never been in God and going not knowing exactly where it's going to be or how it will be when you get there. But faith travels with God and faith trusts God. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. He was living there, but sojourning is temporary by nature. Sojourning is passing through. A sojourner is someone who came on a journey, but he's not staying where he is. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, and we are children of faith by faithful Abraham. We get that covenant relationship when we go down in the water in Jesus' name. As many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3, and we become sojourners. We become sojourners. And so as we detect faith in our life, we also detect the fact that I don't care so much about what this world thinks about me anymore. I don't care so much about having what the world considers to be desirable. I want to have and to be and to walk in what God has declared to be good and of value and beautiful and something to be desired. I want to detect the presence of faith in my life. He became a sojourner, and we are sojourners by faith. We are pilgrims and strangers, and there's more about that as we make our way into the chapter. But that's a mentality that comes by faith. I know you've got your plan, and we've got a natural frame in a plan, and that's okay. That's perfect. You build your house. You build your life. You create. You envision. You expand your circle on this earth and be as influential as you can be, but never lose your sojourner's license. Never lose the fact that I'm just I'm just passing through this place. Don't ever believe the lie of hell that you can stay here and that it'll be happily ever after. The only happily ever after is going to come on the other side, because whatever you build is going to come down, or it won't be yours one day. And whoever you love, you're going to slip through their fingers, and they're going to slip through your fingers, because nothing in this life stays. We are travelers and strangers and sojourners, and he was by faith, but that needs to be a faith mentality. That needs to be a mentality of faith in your life. You're young, you're in school, you're building your life. I'm not trying to tear the props out from under that. Go for it, do it, because you are on a journey to wind up in a place to be influential for the kingdom of God. Yes, I'm talking to both of you, directly to both of you. God's going to drop you in a place where an apostolic hasn't walked before. God's going to drop you in a place where he can use you. But understand, you may have a title, and you may have a position, and you may attain some status among men or among those that you respect in your field of endeavor. But don't ever lose the idea. I am like the Jews in Babylon. I am here serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And wherever I go, I don't drink the king's meat. And whatever I do, I never bow down to his God. I'm here to be an influence. I'm here to be an influencer. And by faith, I believe God has put you there. And God will direct your path. And God will order your steps. And you will be there. And you'll be light in that place. And you'll be salt in that place. And you'll shake the gate of hell in that place. And up to now, the devil thought he had them all bound up, and there wasn't going to be no escape. But here comes a little apostolic into their midst. And by faith, you've made your journey, and by faith you did the studies and you passed the tests and you rose up into the place, and now you're standing there with influence among men. Don't ever think the men are the point of the journey. Don't ever think that the position is the ultimate reality of the journey. But no, we're just passing through, and on the way through, we're leaving handfuls on purpose. We're leaving light, and we're leaving salt, and we're going to touch somebody's life. And let's clap our hands. Somebody needs to just lift up your heart to God right now. Sojourners, pilgrims, strangers, reach as far as you can reach. Hear that voice of the Holy Ghost down inside of you. Follow after him. Go to that place that you don't know where you're going. I don't know what he'll make out of you. He's going to make an accountant out of you or something. I'm not quite sure what you're going to do. You're going to crunch numbers for somebody somewhere. Not sure about that. And do you know what you're going to be when you grow up? You do. What will it be? What kind of doctors? There's multitudes of doctors. Don't tell me a doctor. A cardiologist. Do you know they're getting to be kind of rare? But that's what you can be, and that's what you're going to be. And as you hold a beating heart in your hand, you're going to be one of the few people in the room that can talk in tongues over that thing. As you deal with them, as you speak to them, as you treat them. And I know I'm talking about cardiosurgery, and that's not what you're moving into. And I know that I don't know what I'm talking about. You understand that. So you won't literally hold their heart in your hand. I hope not. But you understand what I'm saying? Big steps, big tracks in that place. I'm not talking about your physical feet. Making a difference in that place by faith, going out. Who knew? When Abraham made that journey, if Abraham had said, you know, God, I'm good right here. Got my little fire, got my goats, got my little place here in Ur. Let's sing the Ur national anthem. Oh, hail to thee, O Ur of the Chaldees. He could have blamed it on patriotism. You know, he could have just said, I'm happy right where I am. Then his seed would never have been like the stars of the heaven or like the sand of the seashore. Oh, but God could never do anything like that with you. Not unless you were able to go out into a place where you didn't know where you were going. There is no limit to what God can do with an individual. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Would you just lift your hands and love him right now? Holy Ghost is really moving in this house tonight. Hearts and minds, mighty God, touch by your spirit and by your word. Deal with us tonight, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 He's dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, the whole idea of tabernacles in these patriarchal times is associated with the fact that they didn't live in fixed locations or fixed houses. And the old timers would say, don't drive your tent stakes too deeply. And and the Feast of Tabernacles reminisced back to that time when they were in the wilderness wandering and they were following after the cloud of God. And so Abraham lives in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise. Faith first makes you feel like a stranger in the land of promise. When you first come to church, or you first step out and you really begin to follow after God, you feel like a stranger in that place. And that's not a custom. And for some folks, it's so terrifying, they go right back to what they were before God ever started talking to them. Because it's terrifying. I'll tell you this, for anybody that's considering saying yes to God, as soon as you step out, you'll feel like a stranger in that place. Because it's a place you're not accustomed to. It's a place you haven't been before. But once you get there, God will give you substance there, an understanding there, and a new reality there. And you will dwell there in that tabernacle, understanding this is not fixed. This is not forever. I'm a sojourner. I'm just passing through. But he dwelt there with Isaac and Jacob. If you step out with God and you come out of where you are and into where God's calling you, even though it feels uncomfortable at first, you will bear your Jacob. You will bear your Isaac. You will bear your Jacob there in that new place that God is calling to. Brother Ronnie, there's a place God's calling you, and you're going to bear fruit there, but it won't be where you've been. It's going to be a new place. It's going to be a place of greater devotion, or a place of different interaction that you're used to. But when you get there, you're going to produce an Isaac. You're going to produce you will produce the faith, or rather the fruit that God has called you to produce in an interaction with God based on faith. When you take the step out, you will not be fruitful where you are. You say, well, I'm fruitful right now. That won't last. Say, well, I've borne fruit right where I am. It won't last. You're going to have to step out and move in. And I'm not talking about geographic location tonight. I'm just telling you, you're going to have to grow to that next level God's calling you to in order to continue to bear fruit. If you stay where you are and you don't develop and you don't grow, you'll begin to be barren in your spirit. And there's nothing more bitter and more miserable than a barren apostolic. So as soon as somebody's telling me what all is wrong, what they see that needs changing, and they're finding fault, and they're blaming, and they're disturbed about other people, the first thing I want to know is, who have you won to God? Who have you prayed through in an altar? Who have you taught a Bible study to? Who are you witnessing to? Are you fruitful where you are? God wants to call you up into a higher place. God, listen, there is no negotiating this. You are called to be fruitful in the house of God. You are called to be fruitful in every substantive way. And it's a will of God for you to bring forth. Faith makes you feel like a stranger in a strange land. And then faith makes you feel at home in a place of transition, constant movement. Your experience that you bring with you, you set it up in the next little spot on the road where God's calling you. You got all your stuff there. It's all recognizable. And here we go, and we set it up again. And I've got my Isaac, and I've got my Jacob with me, and I've got all my stuff. And everywhere I go, I build an altar, just like Abraham built an altar everywhere he went. It was indicative of his prayer life. Every juncture, every place God called him, he built a new altar. You got to pray through every time God calls you up to the next location. You got to pray through. You got to get yourself filled with the Holy Ghost again. You got to develop that prayer life all over again. You never cross the same river twice because the man is different and the river is different. You never step into the same place with God again because that place is different and you are different. You really need to get a hold of this tonight. God's calling somebody to become untethered from this world and all the dreams that you had about this world and begin to hear the voice of God and say yes to God. I'm ready to step up into a new place. Praise God. Faith produces the next generation. Faith is our interface with vision. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Faith is our interface. Where are you going, buddy? I'm going to a place I've never seen. I'm going to a place that I can't even begin to understand. Paul said we see through a glass darkly. But when we get there, we're going to see as we are seen. I had a talk with Sister Sarah this morning about 5:00 in the morning. She was hurting, and she was scared. And she has every reason to be fearful in a place like that. But I told her, like I told Sister Mary Herring years and years ago, this is not new news. Everybody we love is going to die. And we ourselves are going to die. Now, once you establish that, the devil comes and says, ooh, you're going to die. And you can go, oh no, the devil told me I was going to die. And people I love are going to die. Oh God, we're going to die. Oh boy, if the devil can begin to influence your prayer life, he'll write your prayers for you. But you need to say, what do you mean? Die. Are you such a fool? You don't know the whole world is full of graveyards, and many of the graveyards have totally disappeared. They tried to bury them in pyramids, and the pyramids are disappearing. Don't you know you can't keep anything nailed down around here? I know I'm gonna die. Genesis tells me I'm gonna die, but that's not the news, devil. The news is I'm gonna live forever. When the devil comes to torment you, you need to say, you're going to lose your house. Man, I can't keep this house anyway. You're going to lose the things that you love. I can't hold on to any of this anyway. But I do have a hold of something that is anchored within the veil. And I'm never going to lose that. The name of Jesus is always going to be mighty. The word of God is never going to fail. The promise of heaven, I got that in my pocket. And I'm not ever turning that loose. But don't let the devil spoil your today. If you'll get on board with Abrahamic theology, the idea that we are just traveling through this, we are just moving through this, sojourning, living in tabernacles with our Isaac and our Jacob, and we are not rooted or connected to this world, then this is not, he doesn't have leverage to make you fearful or to weaken your faith. Somebody say amen. Let's practice. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to live forever with God. Tell him I ain't studying about dying. And the devil says, oh yeah, that's big talk. Now, there were several people in this house tonight that did not say that. You didn't say, I ain't studying about dying, because you're afraid the devil will hear that and come knocking on your door. So you just kind of sat invisible. Like you do with a lot of other things that come to you out of the Word of God. you just kind of sat there and became like ninja invisible. But it's going to come to all of us. So you might as well get on the winning side of it. I'm going to die. You're going to die. We're all going to die. And he's like, oh, man, I'm going to live a long time after you. And I hope that's the God's truth, my young friend. But not a one of us going to get out of here alive. There's a toe tag waiting somewhere for every one of us. My God, a graveyard somewhere with your name on it. But that's not the end of the story, and that's not even the important part of the story. Because by the time they put this ball-headed box down in the grave, I'm going to be standing around getting oriented toward heaven, getting acquainted with people that I've read about in the Word of God, but I've never met. My God, it's going to be a good day. You got to get on the winning side of this. Praise God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What shall I be afraid? Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Faith is our interface with vision. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Praise God. We don't get to stay here. We're going somewhere else, and that's the point of the sojourning, and that's the point of the tabernacles, and that's the point of always looking ahead and always traveling to the next point of faith with God. Because our ultimate destination is eternity with God. It's not happily ever after down here. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stop for just a second. If you're glad for heaven and the promise of it, let's clap our hands unto him. Let's bless his name. Praise. Praise God. Praise God. If you're sitting by your husband or your wife or somebody that you love, tell them, we're not staying here forever. Tell them, if I go first, I'm going to be waiting for you inside the Eastern Gate. My God, I'm hearing an old song right now. Just inside the Eastern Gate, over there. But you know, that's a great song and that's a great lyric. And how are you going to find one another if you don't have a meeting spot? You don't want to meet by the dung gate. The Eastern Gate would be a place. Well, I just raised a whole new level of theological questions there. Praise God. By faith, we step into the arena of faith. By will, we step into the arena of faith. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Toughest verse in the whole Word of God. And that's the place where God doesn't tell you where he came from, what his pedigree is, why you should come, why you should even care. He doesn't tell you anything. He just said, here I am, I did it all. What are you going to do? And at that point, you step over or you refuse to step over into the arena of faith. But faith then is an act of will. That's why you can't be let off the hook for not exercising faith. Well, I just don't have any, or my condition, or my circumstances, or my life, or any of, none of that works, because it's just a fact of will. You will step over into the arena of faith. It is an act of will. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, God, I believe you for that. Now, let's go on. Take me on. Let's talk about what happens then. And when faith steps over, when will allows you to operate in faith and step over into what may seem to you to be like a dark void that always is a little terrifying and never satisfies the natural man, a place where God is and God's word is and the moving of the Spirit of God is, and those things are not satisfying to the natural man. And the word of God said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's where the call of God. When you're looking across the bridge work over to the place where God is calling you, quite often it looks void and dark and darkness upon the face of the, and it has no real form or substance that you can identify with. And God is calling you there, but it looks like a spooky place. It's like, God, why don't you get it together over there? And then invite me over, or let me come after you've got a development going or something that I can recognize. But no, he called you to step over into a tempest-tossed void that is dark. You can't see into it. You can't know what it's going to be like. Will and faith step over into that. But when you do, you tap into the word of God, because, and God said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In that place that's unknown to you, that place that you're unaccustomed to, and you can't really envision how it will be there, know this, that if God's calling you, the Spirit of God is moving already upon the face of that place. God is already preparing that place. He's already getting it in shape for you. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. We use that as a bullet point for talking about heaven, but I want you to know, at every juncture, at every movement of faith in your life, God's already been there, and God's already gone to prepare a place for you. He's never asking you to step out into that void by yourself. And so as you clamber up the bridge work of faith and you make your way over into that new place, it may look dark and threatening and terrifying, but the Spirit of God is already moving upon the face of the deep. And God said, as you do this, as you say yes to God, as you move into places where your natural mind cannot understand and you don't have any basis of understanding there, the word of God always moves, and the word of God will always illuminate. And Genesis 1 and 3 said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so as you make your way into that new experience, as soon as you step in the door, bam, God's going to be touching you by spirit. Bam, God's going to be turning on the lights, and we're going to be moving. Now, somebody in this house, I can just tell you right now, you're terrified of the next step with God. You're terrified to say yes to God because you don't know where we're going or how it's going to be. But I want you to know this, the Spirit of God is already moving upon it. The Word of God is already present there, and God is about to turn on the lights in your life in a brand new season in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, the entrance of thy words giveth light. As soon as God begins to talk, light is going to come on in your life, and you're going to see the expansive new program that God has invited you into. Paul writes it like this, but if our gospel be hid, this is 2 Corinthians 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost. People that will not walk into the moving word, spirit, and light of God are just by nature lost. Verse 4 says that that's the devil's plan, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, or those that will not move in faith, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, if you'll just move and say yes to God and go into a place that you don't know, but God's going to clarify, God will turn on the light. He's blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And if you think I'm just whistling Dixie tonight, verse 6 in 2 Corinthians 4. For God, everyone say, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He said, your life in your inception in the Spirit, and I would add every step beyond that in your journey of faith, every bit of your experience in God is going to be defined by those first few verses of Genesis chapter 1. And you are going to have an illuminating experience if you'll just stand up, brace yourself, and say, yes, God, I'm going to be there. I'm going to move into that place. Now, right now, God's calling somebody. God's talking to somebody. It's been yanking on your mind and spirit now for days, if not weeks. I want you to just lift your hands right now and just say yes to God. I want somebody to just say yes to God right now. I'm going to say yes, God. I'm going to say yes, God. I'm going to move when you say move. I'm going to go when you say go. I'm going to speak when you say speak. I'm going to pray, oh God. I'm going to step into a brand new place that I've never been in before, and you're going to illuminate that place by your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody's feeling a confirmation in the Holy Ghost right now. That's a good thing. Press into that. Lindsay, come help me tonight. Press into that. Hallelujah. Anybody in this house want to bear fruit in the kingdom of God? Anybody want to be fruitful? Anybody want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Faith is the only fruitful ground. Faith brings forth. Hebrews 11 and 11, through faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Praise God. She was past. She was gone. She was old. It was naturally, practically impossible. But she was going to bring forth an Isaac. Praise God. Keep us alive here. I'd hate to be my piano player. No, it's good, it's good, it's good. I want to walk in faith. Tell your neighbor, Abraham and Sarah were old. Now listen, I don't know how many churches do this, and you know, I've just been gone for maybe one service here. People already changing the order of the service. Announcing new pregnancies. And sticking a stick in the eye of something that is in favor of, is not in favor of interracial marriages. I mean, you just walk by a big old dog and on your way to have church, you just said, ew. A big old fire-breathing dog. You never heard leave sleeping dogs lie? You never heard that. But you didn't hear. Mother Riggs, can you hear me? Wave your hand. We didn't have an announcement tonight about you expecting. Did we? You know what she's doing? She's laughing. That's exactly what Sarah did. It's what Abraham did. God said, I see you got Ishmael here, but Sarah's going to bring forth. And Abraham just couldn't. It was one of those moments where you spit whatever you're eating all over the table. He said, he fell on his face laughing. And said, I'm old. Sarah's old. And he was so bound by that knowledge that he travailed a prayer that gives us a greater dimension of the Islamic Arab problem today. He said, "Oh, that Ishmael would live before thee." And God said, "I heard you, and I'm gonna bless him again here, but it's gonna be Isaac." But Abraham laughed at it, because he just couldn't. That's a man that left everything and followed God and was remarkable in his response to God. But when God told him that, he just laughed in God's face. And then God and two angels stop by in the 18th chapter of Genesis, and they're going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But on the way, they stop and have lunch with Abraham. And in the middle of all that lunch and everything, Abraham is sitting there, and God said, "About this time next year, Sarah's going to have a child." Sarah's off in another tent, another room, and she hears God say that. And she laughs. And she said, "Shall I, who am old, and Abraham, who is old, shall we have pleasure in our old age?" She said, because you got to get this, this birth of Isaac is not going to be immaculate conception. It's going to be the old-fashioned way. And it hadn't been that way in a long time with Abraham and Sarah. She laughs, and God's just looking straight at Abraham, but knowing everything. He said, why did Sarah laugh? "I'm going to do it. Just like, is anything too hard for God?" And she hears him say, "Why did Sarah laugh?" And she said, "I didn't laugh." And he said, "Yea, but thou didst laugh." And he doesn't kill her, and he doesn't kill Abraham, and he doesn't smite her, and he doesn't knock her down, and he doesn't scold her. He just said, "Why are you laughing? I can do anything." Anybody here believe God can do anything? Touch your neighbor and say, "Faith is fruitful." Tell them, "I don't care if you've never done anything. God can make you fruitful." Tell them, "I don't care if you're dumb as a stump. God can make you fruitful." And when I tell you what God can do in you, you may laugh in my face, but that won't stop God. God will do something that'll make you laugh, and everybody that hears it. So in chapter 19, you just get Sodom and Gomorrah get burned up. And all that business with Lot and Zoar, the home of my home church, my Baptist church. And all of that. Chapter 20, Abraham and Sarah, and this is like one of those little wild vignettes that's just dropped into the Word of God, and you're following the whole thing along, and you go, "Huh, why is that 20th chapter in there?" They go down. They sojourn in Gerar. Abimelech is the king. Abimelech goes and sees Sarah and says, "Go get her. I want her in my harem." She's 90 years old. I'm not even thinking about Sarah at that point. I'm thinking about Abimelech. Abimelech's a strange dude. He's got an octogenarian fetish. What's 90? Octogenarian plus 10. I don't know what it is. They bring Sarah in. And nothing happens. Because God shows up in the middle of the night and says, "Hey," he said, "thou art but a dead man." Now, when God shows up and says that, people start talking really fast. And it's amazing with Abimelech. He said, "Lord," he knows God. This is a long way from the tower, a long way from the ark. This king of Gerar knows God. He said, Lord, because you know Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Not Abimelech. Abimelech said, Lord, you know. I've done this in the integrity of my heart, the innocency of my hands. He said she was his sister. And I hadn't touched her. And the Lord said, I kept you from touching her. My head is spinning. The whole story, the why and the how. And why put the story in the Word of God? God says, Abimelech, I didn't let you touch her. But now I want you to know this. You and everybody you love, they're all dying right now. The curse is already on you. You need to get over there and talk to this man, Abraham. He is a prophet. He'll pray for you and you're going to live. And God had already stopped up the wounds of everybody in Gerar. This is a crazy story. God causes Abimelech to restore Sarah to Abraham, pay him a fortune to restore her honor, because he had taken her out of the care of her covering. He said, this will restore your covering. Gets all of that straight, and that's the end of the chapter. He restores her, pays her a fortune. Abimelech says, you can have any piece of this land you want. And he gives him flocks and herds and gold and silver. And it's like, this is the most curious little story. But that's chapter 20. And chapter 21. You know what chapter 21 is? Chapter 21, Sarah gives birth to Isaac. In the description of Sarah, it said it had ceased to be with her after the manner of women, which means she was over the hill. And when you get over the hill, hormonally you change and physically you change and you don't produce the capacity anymore to have children. That is a chemical thing. It has physical consequences. You get all of the physical manifestations of old age going on there because of those chemical changes and those hormonal changes. But when I see chapter 21 and I realize she had that baby and it was by natural conception. And God could have just, instead of giving us chapter 20, he could have just said, and God did restore Sarah to the vitality of her youth. But God likes stories. And so he gives you this expansive chapter 20, and Abimelech didn't see an elderly woman. He saw a beautiful, vital, young woman and had him go and get her and bring her to his house. And God shows us all of that through the imagery of this story. And God restores not only Sarah, God restores Abraham. He's gonna have more kids after this. It's amazing what God does there. And Sarah names him Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. And Sarah said, because God made me to laugh. Let me tell you something here tonight. God not only wants you to be fruitful, God wants you to get a smile on your face. God is working to put a smile on your face about the things of God. Because when you become fruitful in the kingdom of God, it'll make you laugh. God will restore the capacity for fruitfulness in your life. And that story is not about the physical miracle in Sarah. That story is like the miracle stories of the New Testament. That story is to tell you God can do anything for anybody. God can make anybody fruitful. There are people in this house right now, the devil has told you, you've failed too much, you've gone too far, you've waited too long, it's too late in the season of your life. Listen to me, if that story tells me anything, it tells me you're never too far along in the story of your life. You're never too far along in the journey of your life for God to not be able to make you fruitful and to not be able to make you laugh. Touch your neighbor and say, God wants to make you fruitful, and God wants to make you laugh. You know what? God's gonna, Brooke with the big black hat, listen to me. You know what? God wants to do something in you that when people hear it, they say, Brooke? Well, look, no, just like you just did. A Twitter went through them. They just started twittering because they were like, Brooke? And it made them laugh. Yeah, Brooke, God's gonna make her do something in the kingdom of God that when you hear it, you're just gonna shake your head and laugh and say, because it's the only response available. God has just short-circuited every rational thing you've ever known and made something happen that the devil said would never happen. But God will make him and every man a liar, and God will bring it forth in your life. Do you believe that? I believe God is able to do that. Shut your mouth, devil. God is able. God is well able. Somebody that's half backslid, you need to open your mouth and tell the devil, I can be restored and God can make me fruitful. Somebody that wants to be fruitful in the kingdom of God, you need to say, God is able to make me fruitful and make me laugh. My God, some depressed person needs to say, God is able to make me laugh and everybody around me make me laugh. God's able. God's able. God's able. Father, Father Jermaine, God is able. My God. Praise God. Next step. It's all baby steps to God. Big step to you, but it's a baby step to God. Next step. God's calling, and it's so diverse here. God's all calling us to different steps, different locations, different experiences. But the uniform thing is that God is calling everybody in this house to a new and fresh anointing, to something that you've never walked in before, to a place in the spirit and in faith that you've never handled before, but God's got it for you right now. Praise God. I'm looking for that great pharmacist revival. Do you know in Baton Rouge, we had maybe four pharmacists pray through in like a 2-week span? My God, God's able to do that. You think it was a fluke that you got involved in all that you did all that hard work? You think God didn't have his hand on you, helping you through those nights when you were crying, I can't do this? She didn't tell me that. I just know it's hard curriculum. You know, God's got victory and God's got revival right there in that place or any of those places you're going to walk. You know what one of those pharmacists did? He stood in the altar. And he didn't really believe this. He didn't believe it was so true. So he just walked down to the altar. He lifted up his hand, and it was like somebody punched him in the gut. He folded up and fell in the floor. And he started getting up, and he said, I'm not weak. I work out. He began to try to explain to us how, I don't know what just happened to me, but it's not because I'm not vibrant and physically able to stand on my feet. He lifted up his hands. God knocked him flat to the floor. I just remember him because he was a part of that pharmacist revival. And I'm just telling you that because God is able to do that with you and in this place. And God's able to set fire to your office. And God's able to touch your family. And God's able to bring forth out of your neighborhood. And God is... Somebody just saw Michael in the neighborhood and just wanted to bring him to church. And now he's here. We can't get rid of him. My God, he's here all the time. And he thinks he belongs here. Just out of the neighborhood. Do you know there's revival all around you every day, everywhere you go, everything you do, there's revival around you. God wants you to be fruitful, and God wants, you know, Michael, when I think about you, it just makes me laugh. I think of, no, good though. I think about you quizzing and it makes me laugh. I see you worshiping and it makes me laugh. You know what the statistics say about you? You know what all the social statistics say about you? You ought to go to jail. You ought not finish high school. You ought to go to prison. You ought to lose in every major area. But you know what? You're going to win in every major area of life. You're going to be fruitful in every major area of life. You make me laugh, Michael. You make me laugh. You do. My God. I want somebody that wants to be fruitful, that wants to step out. I want you to dance your way down to this altar right now. And when you get here, I want you to dance. And I want you to loose your mouth. And I want you to tell the devil that God is going to do something powerful with you, something wonderful in your life. I want you to understand what God has for you tonight. Hey, sing.
Say yeah!